Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Practical Intuitive. My name is Robin Fritz and I'm thrilled to be here hosting the show at OM Times. I'm here each week to help you love yourself no matter what, because the most important thing each of us has to do is love ourselves, body, mind, and spirit, and it's the one thing most of us don't do as well as we should. And I'm preaching about it because I should know. I'm at the top of the list of those who didn't know enough about loving myself until I had to fight through disaster to do it. So today we're going to be talking about a subject near and dear to my heart, and I know to the hearts of many people out there, OM Times listeners and Seattleites where I'm calling from. Seattle, Washington happens to be famous for the fact that we have more dogs in the city than children, which means only that we get out a lot, perhaps. But today we're talking about animals as family members. So it's all about animal families today. If you'd like to comment on what you think about animals and families and what they mean to you, or questions and comments, or if you'd like a brief intuitive reading and healing for you and an animal, please call in 202-570-7057. Let's talk about the human-animal bond and what it means to live with animals as family members, including, for this audience in particular, what it means for their soul growth and ours. Plus, we'll welcome our sponsor, Terry Kent of AmberstonePets.com. Terry creates natural flea and tick collars with raw Baltic amber. She'll be joining us at the half hour. That'll be a fascinating conversation. So, for those who want to talk about the show or ask questions and are shy about coming on, you can email me at my website, RobinFritz.com. It's Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z.com. Leave your question, your comments, and I'll bring it up at the following show and or at the Facebook Live session that I do every Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock Seattle time. So, animals as family members. It used to be that we thought of animals as pets, and many people still do, and maybe that's still in many conversations and in many places still the main way we think of the animals that live with us, our animal companions. And certainly our bond with animals started eons ago. The speculation is that wolves and humans got together about 10,000 years ago when they suddenly figured out how to work together to keep from starving to death. That's what I call humans and animals bonding from ancient necessity. And of course, as you all know, since then, we've what we call domesticated animals for many purposes, for food, yes, but to help us plow fields, transport us, help hunt and guard. And it's one reason why humans have become the dominant species on Earth. We've learned to control other species. But, you know, it's interesting to think about, as a side thing, Every single dog on this planet, from a Chihuahua to a Great Dane, is descended from one female wolf. At least that's the current speculation. And when you think about that, that's really a lot of dogs. A lot of dogs going back to one host animal. And thinking about thousands of years of living with animals, while we still employ them in jobs with us, most of us look upon them as companions these days and bring them into our homes. Yes, they still have sheepdog trials. They still have herding dogs. We certainly have the search and rescue and the police dogs and all kinds of uses for our dogs out there, as well as farm animals. But when we think about them as companion animals, what is the first thing that comes to mind for you? One of the things that we think about on a mystical sense is that we learn from them, that they teach us certain things. I find that problematic at times because we tend to put too much emphasis on what they can do for us rather than what families do for each other, which is heart and soul growth. And when I think about families today, and I have three books out there on the human-animal bond, when I think about animals today, I call it learning up from the ancient necessity of survival to heart and soul growth. And I think that's where we get to the description of thinking of animals as family members and our families as multi-species families. But when we do that, what do you think about in terms of what that means for their lives and yours, the quality of life, what an animal needs to grow and blossom into the job it came here to do, and what that means for us and our families, and what does it mean for you? So for the first time since I started this show a few weeks ago, I want to touch on the topic of mindset, because that applies directly to thinking about our animal families. And we'll go back to it in future shows, but it certainly has a bearing on what the purpose of this show is, which is helping us tap into our abilities as intuitives and healers, which we all have, and being all around good people, wanting to have successful personal and business lives. And I find in my teaching and in my personal life and in what people who take my classes or mentor with me, it does come down to mindset. And one of the mindsets is the mindset we live in and doesn't work. And the other is the mindset that we don't think about, but is actually out there in the world working. So the first mindset, the one that we're used to living in, I call planetary healing. It's the idea that our religions and cultures have put into our heads that we're humans as caretakers and guardians in charge of the planet, that we're responsible for the planet, and that it somehow can't operate well without us telling it what to do. And it means we're supposed to heal the planet and everything in it. Well, it's a very appealing mindset to a lot of people, and it's one we've taken for granted because we really are all, most of us are good people. We want the planet to be healthy. We want to be healthy with it. We know we don't foul the nest. But when you stop to think about it, a planetary healing idea is a very paternal concept that's very much let mommy and daddy take care of you. And it's kind of a big yikes for you, right? Because it keeps us from living the way the rest of the planet lives, and it isn't true. So then what? Well, the mindset that is true and that really works is what I call planetary connection. And in future shows, I'll talk about how I stumbled onto that by working with oil spills and volcanoes and hurricanes, weather and land systems. But I learned this mindset from working with the planet itself. It's not something I made up. It's something I observed from approaching the planet from the perspective of, hello, how are you? My name is Robin. Would you like to have a conversation? So planetary connection knows that everything is alive, that things we see and don't see, from our animals to our homes, from the planet itself to the radio waves this show is coming to you on. Everything is alive. Everything has a soul, consciousness, rights, responsibilities, a job to do, a choice about doing it, and opinions. So it means that humans are equal with all life, not superior to it, not in charge of it, and not inferior to it, as we tend to think when we think about spiritual guides and divas and gods and goddesses. So all of us, no matter what the body we're wearing, has a job to do, and all beings have jobs to do, including the animals we live with. And so that brings us back into the conversation of discussing our animals as family members and not just pets. So if you have an opinion on this, feel free to call in. Feel free to send me an email after the show, but call in to 202-570-7057 and tell me, how do you live with your animals? What does that mean to you? And how does that affect your lives together? Now, I currently live with two animals, a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel dog, his name is Oliver, and a Russian blue kitten, her name is Karis. Both of these animals are reincarnated from previous animals. Oliver is my dog who died, Alki, who died in November of 2014, and Karis is the reincarnation of my cat, Grace the cat, who died last September 2016. And what is the purpose of them coming back into my life? What is the purpose of an animal coming back into your life, as seems to be happening with regular frequency among my clients, among people I run into on the street? And what does that mean for their families and for their soul purpose? We'll talk about that a little bit more after the break.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on Om Time Radio.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Terry Kent of AmberstonePets.com. Years ago, Terry struggled with fleas and ticks on her four dogs but ruled out pesticides. Then she heard about raw Baltic amber. A fossilized tree resin, raw Baltic amber has been used for years in Europe to protect cats and dogs from fleas and ticks. Terry founded AmberstonePets.com 8 years ago to offer safe, organic, and beautiful pet collars that naturally repel fleas and ticks. How? The amber's aromatic properties are released into the pet's coat and spread by body oils from friction and body heat. The collars are available in several styles for cats and dogs, from kittens and puppies to giant breeds. Visit AmberstonePets.com, choose raw Baltic amber collars for your pets, and enter Om Times at checkout for free shipping. Order today at AmberstonePets.com.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom!
Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. My name is Robin Fritz, and I'm thrilled to be your host today. And we're talking about animals as family members. So we've covered the mindset idea. And if you're thinking about animals as family members, and I know this from people who just walk around and say, yeah, my animal is my kid, my family, whatever you want to call it. What you're doing is you're bringing them into your home, and a couple of things happen after that. If you're looking at the mindset of planetary connection, which talks about heart and soul growth, you're bringing an animal into your home for your benefit and theirs as well. I mean, the number one thing I've seen in working with animals and their families, whether as an intuitive or just as a practical friend, hey, here's what's going on, is animals have needs, okay? So here's the thing. There's a family. You may have human children. You may have animal children, call them what you will, family members, okay? But what does that mean for them and for you? Sure, there's a hierarchy in every family. You know, I regret sometimes that my animals don't drive or shop for groceries. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? So, sure, you're kind of in charge of the family. You're the one that pays the bills. You're the one that drives the car. You're the one that makes sure everybody is healthy and happy and on the same page. But how does life play out in that scenario when everybody is a family member, no matter the species? And how does the family evolve? So then you're talking about how do you connect with them. Now, in August, I think it's August 10th, I'll be doing a paid webinar through OM Times at Learn It Live on animal communication, but also on animals as family members. And yes, there's a lot of sentiment around it. We get very attached to our animal family. We get very attached to our friends and our human family members. And we take care of them equally. And in the case of animals, we're grateful that we don't have to pay for college for dogs and cats, right? But with animals, you have one thing you don't usually have with other humans, and that's that their lives are shorter, so the heartbreak is inevitable. And people say, don't bring that up. Don't talk about heartbreak. Well, you know, you need to if you're living with animals. And this hit home with me. Recently, Oliver, my Cavalier, is 2, and Karis, the cat, came a lot earlier than I expected. She's been with us 3 weeks now. And in welcoming each of them into my home, I was remembering the ones who had died. The dogs, Murphy and Alki, my Cavaliers, my first two Cavaliers, Murphy Brown and Alki. And what a great family I had. 3 beautiful animals, 2 dogs and a cat. And the interesting thing was, as I was welcoming the new family members, I was grieving the old ones. And you learn that that's part of life, true, but it's also part of your growth and their growth. Could I make room in my life to love another animal in the same way I loved those first 3? And I hope that's proving to be true, yes. And we learn to enjoy the moments with them and treasure the time we have with them, because in reality, that's what we're doing all the time, no matter what. But the first thing that we need to do when we're talking about animals as family members is get to the practicalities. And that's what a lot of people don't get to when they start talking about them as little gurus in angel wings or whatever, here to be our spiritual teachers. And is that really the right thing to be thinking? In what kind of a burden does that place on them? and what have they chosen to do with those bodies? So no matter your philosophy and how you think about that, you're still dealing with animals. You're still dealing with a species. So for a dog, you need to know whether that dog likes other dogs. You need to get it trained to walk out on the street properly. You need to understand what the health needs are, dogs and cats, horses, whatever they are, bunnies, ferrets. I've talked to a few ferrets in my time, turtles. What is their health needs and what are its behavior and personality? And how do they interact with other family members? You know, I have this ideal in my head that they're all going to get along and love each other perfectly and, you know, not have personality conflicts or not have species conflicts. And that's like not very bright, Robin, because they do have conflicts, just like your human family members have conflicts. So you stop to think about distinguishing between pets and family members. What is going through your mind and theirs when you want to do something? So kind of the way I like to think about the difference between pets and family members is, say, okay, you come home from work, you plop into your recliner, and you want your dog or your cat to just, you know, sit in your lap, be a little cuddle bug and hang out with you, as maybe you just like lap time. But when they're part of a family, things change, because now when you sit down in your recliner, you, yeah, and invite your dog or cat or whatever to sit in your lap, if it works for you, right? It's hard to imagine, you know, an Irish wolfhound as a lap dog, but, you know, you get the idea. Or you might even notice them looking at you really expectantly, and you realize that they want to sit on your lap because you've recognized that behavior over time, and you're getting to know what their facial expressions mean, what their body language means, because believe it or not, you're always communicating with your animals and not just telepathically having conversations with them. So if they're a family member, you invite them to sit on your lap and then you expect whatever happens next. So just like you do with any family member who thinks and reasons and chooses to please themselves and maybe you too. So, but when you're living with animals as family members, it gets more complicated because, well, yes, and life gets more interesting, but it gets more complicated because you're living in close quarters day in and day out, and you're considering their feelings and needs, what they want and know, and what brings you together and keeps you there and why. So I think a lot of people are starting to recognize that their animals are thinking for themselves and behaving in ways that match their thinking, and it's kind of up to us to figure out what that is. But these are very observant people, and I'm sure the Om Times listeners are right there with me and going, yeah, I've noticed that about my cat or dog, or if you don't have a pet, maybe an animal companion. Maybe you've noticed that with your friends' animals. What are they thinking? And what kind of a response do they have to you? And then when you start thinking about that and where their families are, then you want to know about, okay, what's the reason for them being here in the first place? And what's their soul purpose? And that's what a spiritual community like Om Times offers you, is the space to explore soul purpose, not just yours. But today, as we're talking, our animal family members, what is their reason for being here with you? And that can be pretty amazing. I know there was a well-known animal communicator, and I was attending her evening at a local metaphysical bookshop several years ago. And she was talking about giving animals jobs to do, which is right, is what we should do. Just like we give human children chores, we give our animal children, animal companions, whatever you want to call them, our animal families, we give them jobs to do. But what other job do they have on top of that? And I think if you take one thing away from our conversation today, it's that what's going on in their heads, but also what's going on in their souls. So when I leave for work, when I leave to see clients outside of my office, I tell the cat that, sorry, it's time for you to go in your little kennel, take a nap, pay attention to what's going on, and we can talk about it when I get home. What did you notice about your day as I was gone? And the dog, same job. Pay attention, hear what's going on, tell me about any noises that you hear when I get home. But the other more serious thing then is what they're doing here in the first place. Especially when your animals reincarnate with you, as mine have done over and over and over again, as we have done together over and over again in past lifetimes. What are they doing here, and how are you participating in facilitating their soul growth? And that's where we come into looking at animals as not just family members, but how we can connect with them. How do we have a conversation with our animal family members? You can look at it as, say, you're taking a trip to a foreign country like Italy, okay? So you've learned about Italy from geography to customs. And what's the first thing you do when you go to Italy? Well, if you're smart, you arrive and you mind your manners, okay? You figure out how to communicate, even though they may speak English. Learn a few words of Italian, you know? Be courteous and respectful, and be ready to have a good time. And if you translate that to your animal family members, what's not just what's going on in their heads, but what does the world look like from their perspective? I mean, I pay attention to my dog when we go on walks. What's that? I've seen the insides of more flowers in the last 20 years because I'm paying attention to what they're looking at. So we'll be back after the break, and Terry Kent from AmberstonePets.com will be here to talk to you about how to protect your dogs and cats from fleas and ticks.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from Spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Aubrey Wallace, MD. Whether you have a chronic health issue or simply want to feel your best and be your best, consider an appointment with Dr. Aubrey Wallace, a naturopathic physician and medical intuitive with an international practice near Seattle, Washington. A third-generation healer, Dr. Wallace uses her extensive training and an intuitive approach to help her patients find what's really keeping them from the healthy, balanced lives they deserve. Her compassionate approach treats the whole patient, body, mind, and spirit, using therapies from homeopathic medicines to energy healing. She helps you as her patient to love being you. Dr. Wallace works in person or by Skype. Learn more about her work at lovebeingyou.info. Mention this ad and receive 15% off a medical intuition session. That's Dr. Aubrey Wallace at lovebeingyou.info.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14,
31, 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street.
Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and I'm thrilled to be here today, and we're talking about animals as family members. And I just wanted to finish that thought that I was talking about understanding your animals as animals. They're family members, but they're animals. So when you're on that foreign trip to Italy and you're minding your manners and you're being courteous and respectful, here's how you do that with your animal family. I've got a 20-pound dog, okay? So when I was first learning to talk with animals years and years ago, I was thinking, wow, what does the world look like from their perspective? Get down on your hands and knees and look up and see what it looks like to look at the world from the perspective of a 20-pound dog. My cat, Karis, the kitten, she weighs 4 pounds. My gosh, you know what we look like to somebody who weighs 4 pounds? I mean, I don't want to even speculate how that's like a T-Rex, right? So you, when you're treating your animals as family members, think about how they're relating to you. Put yourself in their perspective and see how that fits with you. So with that in mind, I want to bring on Terry Kent of AmberstonePets.com, if we've got a good connection here, because Terry was thinking about her animal family when she came up with a product that she sells through AmberstonePets.com. Terry, are you there? Welcome.
Hi, Robin. Thank you for inviting me.
Hi. Thanks for being here. Welcome. So we've been talking about animals as family members, Terry, and I wanted to talk a little bit about you, and you're over there in Wisconsin. And tell us about the product and how you came up with it.
Okay, Robin, I make necklaces or collars, if you want to call them that, for your pet. And what happened was one of my dogs came down with Lyme disease, so I joined a forum to learn more about, you know, treating Lyme disease and about tick-borne diseases. And of course, one of the most common questions on that forum was, what can we use to protect our pets from fleas and ticks? And with all the chemicals and pesticides out there, everyone was, you know, just yearning for a good something to use besides putting pesticides on their pet. And someone had said, well, I use an amber collar. I got it from Germany or Sweden, and it works great. And everyone's like, amber collar? What do you mean, amber collar? And so she went on to tell us that, you know, the amber from over in the Baltic region, that is actually amber is fossilized tree resin. And you probably know it from, you know, jewelry and things like that, or amber teething necklaces, that type of thing. And so doing some research, no one sold them over here, and I thought, wow, that is fantastic, you know, news that they have something out there. So after doing a bunch of research and you know, conferring with different amber people that sell amber and American Amber Society, I got a hold of some of my own amber, and I started making them, and it just, like, I like to bead and do crafty things, and it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, Terry, I ran across your product in a magazine, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And I think I know a lot about care, allopathic and alternative care, and I had never heard of raw Baltic amber collars. So tell us how it works. Because Ollie's sporting a collar. My dog Ollie is sporting a collar from Terry. And calling it collar, I do want to call it a necklace, because we want to tell people that they do not substitute for your traditional dog collar. You're still going to have a regular collar with tags on it. These collars aren't designed to hold a support a tag. So tell us how it works.
Well, what it is, amber is a fossilized tree resin, like I said before, and it's from a conifer tree. And it's, you know, it can be up millions of years old because it's fossilized. It actually was a conifer. It was a tree sap.
Right.
And it has a resinous smell to it. And you must use raw amber. In other words, a lot of the amber that you see on jewelry has been tumbled or heat treated, and all the outer layers and the good properties that we want on the amber, it has been removed because of that to make it shiny. So
from the heat treating.
Smell of, right. And the resinous smell from the amber is naturally gets into your dog's fur and on their coat from the warmth of their skin and their skin oils, and it's kind of distributed around onto their fur. And that's what, you know, without getting into a lot of chemistry, there's, you know, other things on the amber that people like to use for pain relief, but we'll get into that some other time. But just basically, the amber gives off the resinous smell, and it helps to repel the ticks and the fleas from the dog. And it's,
right.
You know,
it is
typically humans can't smell it. It's not like
you
have a strong scent.
All right, okay. Yeah, here I am. So I want to point out to people that, like, Ollie has been sporting his collar for, like, 2 months now, maybe more. I can't remember. But first of all, the collars are really cool looking. I mean, they're beautiful. They don't weigh very much, so they're not, you know, creating a weight on the dog's neck like you might be worried about some collars. But the smell that you're talking about, Terry, there's no smell to humans. I mean, there's just nothing that is adding to the environment like, you know, like Lysol adds with your cleaning the sink or any kind of incense that you use. But the fleas and the ticks, notice the smell.
Exactly. I mean, insects and, you know, they have a very, very sensitive smell. I mean, the scent, you're not even going to notice
right.
it.
Yeah, that's what I want people to realize. Yeah, you're not going to notice
right.
it, people, on your animals. You are going to now, Ollie has long hair, so I'm very proud of his collar, so I tuck his hair under his collar, you know, when we go out to show it off. So we have a lot of people asking about, like, what's that Ollie's wearing? I do take it off to bathe him and until
right.
he's dry, just to keep it. But when you think about, now, I've seen one tick in my entire life. I'm a city slicker, so I'm not out in the woods with my dogs. I was one time and found a tick on my first Cavalier Murphy, and I had to call somebody. It was like, what is this thing on my dog? It's like, I had no experience with ticks. And fortunately, the area that I live in, Seattle, we don't have that problem. But you can go into the woods around here and you'll have that problem. Terry, you have a big tick problem in your area, but everybody, everybody has a flea problem. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Fleas tick south, and we have a lot of ticks in the Midwest, a lot of ticks on the East Coast. I have a lot of customers, you know, from the East Coast also.
Right. So, and the big thing for me is more flea relief than tick relief. And we've had a pretty cold winter here for once in Seattle. Every 5 years we have a cold winter, which means we have freezing temperatures for about 3 weeks. So nobody feels sorry for us. But we're just starting into the flea season here, and so I've not spotted one on him, and we have been out and about every day. We've been out of town even together in flea country, and not a thing on him. So I am thrilled with his collar. And people should know, too, there's a variety of collars and styles that you can choose from at Terry's site. So it doesn't matter whether you have a little kitten, like my kitten Karis. She's going to get a collar here as soon as her neck gets a little bit bigger. She's growing so fast, that'll happen probably next week. but from little dogs to just giant dogs. But the cost of these things is a fraction of what you're going to pay even for one summer for the spot-on stuff that stinks and that you can feel in their coats and that you worry about the side effects in their bodies. So I just can't believe we didn't know about this before, Terry.
It's fairly new, Robin. Like you said, I heard about it when I was on that forum, and that was back in probably the end of 2008, and I started making them in 2009 and started selling them then. And it's, I'll tell you what, word of mouth, and I only advertise very little because I'm pretty busy as it is, but Dogs Naturally and a few other places, but it's just taken off. So since 2009, I've been pretty busy making them. And, you know, and I have a lot of repeat customers.
Right. That is awesome. Terry, thanks for joining us today. And Terry's going to be back next month as one of my sponsors. She's going to come on for a few minutes each month and talk about products. And one of the things that we're going to talk about in future shows is additional uses of amber. People might be familiar with amber teething products for babies, you know, little necklaces, as well as for inflammation and pain relief. Plus, you can buy a matching color to, you know, walk down the street and look just like your dog with a beautiful amber collar. So thanks for joining us, Terry, and we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, and take care. And I want to tell people the main point of this is it works. And it was an innovative woman who came up with a fascinating product, and it works. So check her out, Terry Kent at AmberstonePets.com. We'll be back after the break.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Rosie Gremmert at ICanDoHardThings.com. When was the last time nothing was holding you back, physically or emotionally, from the good you want to do for yourself and for the world? If you want to feel great and make it last, Rosie Gremmert will use her decades of experience and expertise as a certified essential oil therapist, certified holistic health coach, and certified grief support specialist. To create the best version of you, just email Rosie at ICanDoHardThings.com and put Om Times in the subject line. You'll get access to Rosie's exclusive I Can Do Hard Things 30-Day Courage Dare and get 25% off all purchases. That's Rosie at ICanDoHardThings.com.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food, because 40% of all food in the U.S. never gets eaten. Save the food, Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. This is Robin Fritz, and I'd like to thank once again Terry Kent of AmberstonePets.com for sponsoring my show and for being here live with us today to talk about her raw Baltic amber collars for flea and tick relief. They work, and I'm proud that my kids are wearing them. My dog is, my cat soon will be. But we're back to the conversation of animals as family members and what I call learning up from ancient necessity to heart and soul growth. And what does that mean? It means that in many cases, and in all cases, but in various degrees, welcoming animals as family members is a huge leap up from thinking of them as servants, as pets, as mindless creatures that are in your house for one reason or another, to keep you company or to herd sheep or whatever it is that they're doing. But what is their sole purpose and how can you support it? You know, the first thing that is the sole purpose for all of us in a family is to be a family member, right? We're here, we're creating a family together, we're learning to give and take within the context of a family. It can be a little bit difficult with animals because we need to learn to understand them as animals and take away the romantic notion of them being healers, of course, and thinking of them as, what do they need to be family members? They need to be cared for, obviously. As I learned with my first Cavalier, Murphy, somehow animal care has become extremely complex, and we have to be advocates for their welfare, from not just the food they eat and what's in it, but the vaccines and the chemicals and walking them on lawns that have been fertilized and so on. So I've learned about veterinary protocols. I've learned about what happens when certain things go wrong and how to take care of it. And I spend quite a bit of my day helping people with their animal families. You think about that and you think about that's how animal communication got started. I mean, long, long time ago, all of those of us who work today as professional intuitives, right? We kind of owe it to the people who started with animal communication a long time ago, back in the 70s anyway. And people thinking that, wow, you know, we can actually telepathically talk with an animal, find out what it's thinking or feeling and what it's up to. And that's thinking of them as feeling beings rather than objects or something beneath you, when you start to regard their feelings and want to know what they're thinking about. Now, I mentioned earlier that a friend of mine who's a very well-known animal communicator was doing this workshop, and she talked about giving them jobs. And then she looked at me and laughed and she said, well, Robin's animals have cosmic jobs. Yes, they do. Their jobs are beyond the normal animal family member jobs. And my agreeing to these two new animals being in my life was something that we all need to understand. When you bring an animal into your family, of course, you're responsible for taking care of them, but you're also responsible for promoting their soul growth. And very often it's a normal family job. In my animals' cases, they're very advanced souls. And I'm just there helping them finish their jobs in the world. Ollie is here because in his previous body, he died before he could finish his work. And he needed to come back and be with me to do that. And accepting that was my part of my soul growth, too, of recognizing that there's other things besides me in this family. And they have needs and they have responsibilities. And how can I support them? How can you support the soul growth of your animal? Let me tell you a story. Some years ago, local people adopted a dog that was literally wandering the streets. And they brought this dog in and made it a family member. And then they were in the process of losing a child, a newborn child with a serious heart defect. They knew the child was going to die, and that it was not possible for it to survive more than a day or two after it was born, and they were prepared for that. But I was asked to talk with the dog, and I was astonished, and this was some years ago, you know, and I was learning about soul purpose. And the dog said that it came to those people because it knew this child was going to be born, and it was there to support their soul growth. It was there to support them in their grief. And if that isn't one of the most beautiful things you've ever heard, then you're, you know, then, wow, I don't know what is. It was astonishing. And as I was talking with this dog, the family, the parents came in on an energetic level, okay? They weren't there physically having the conversation with me. They were, their souls were there. Their souls showed up. And their arms wrapped around each other, thanking this dog for being with them in the time of that loss. Well, the next part of the story is the dog got sick, and the dog decided it was time to die. And I was asked to talk with the dog again, and I said, "What's going on? Why are you dying? What's wrong with you?" And the dog said, "Well, I'm not feeling that great, but my job is over." And I said, "What job?" And he said, "My job of being here for them while the baby was dying. So my job is done and I can go now." And I said, "Wait, hang on here. Hang on a minute. Just wait. Do you need to go?" And the dog was astonished. It looked at me and said, "Well, but my job is done." And I said, "Well, I'm telling you, you're not that sick, okay? We can fix you up in a few days here. I know what the diagnosis is. It's a simple upset stomach. You're fine. You don't need to die unless you really want to. But why do you want to?" "Well, my job is done." "Okay, your job is done. You were there for them during that time period where they lost their son. Why don't you retire then and just have fun being a dog?" And the dog was like, "What? I can do that?" And I said, "Yeah, it seems like you accomplished that purpose. Now you can be just a family member, which is an amazing job. Be a family member. Be the dog of the family. They're going to have other kids. They already have a child. You can be their companion. You can have fun. Would you like that?" "I would love that. I would love to be a dog and have fun with them." And so that dog lived for a number of years after that. So I just want to remind you that we're going to have more conversations about animals and family members and what that means over time. But let me give you a few updates on things coming up. Every Tuesday morning at 11 Seattle time, I'm doing Facebook Live at the Om Times Magazine page on Facebook. I promise to get it right this time. The first time was a comedy of errors, but it was also a wonderful opportunity to connect with people around the world. And we will do that tomorrow morning. We'll be serious. We'll have fun. On Thursday, June 22nd, please join me live at the Om Times Experts page. That's experts.omtimes.com/Robyn Fritz, RobynFritz. The Learn It Live platform for my paid webinars, $25. What's up with spirit guides? Okay, so you're wondering why this webinar and why another webinar on spirit guides? Because I'm going to tell you what's really going on with spirit guides, who they are, what they do, why you need to be on top of them, how to create a partnership with them. I'm bringing in several spirit guides to share their stories with you. So I've taught this workshop a number of times. It's a lot of fun. We'll share stories to show you how they work. Plus, you're going to get a gift from your spirit guide. There's a guided meditation to meet your spiritual team member who's responsible to help guide you in your daily life. You're going to learn what that means, and that spiritual team member will give you a gift so that from then on, you will have an easier time connecting with your spiritual team members. than you have in the past. And I know sometimes it's easier talking to other people's spirit guides than it is to talk with your own. So join us Thursday, June 22nd, 12 Pacific time, 3 Eastern time. It's a 90-minute webinar. It's webinars, experts.omtimes.com/RobynFritz, RobynFritz. So it's summertime. Thursday, July 13th at 12 noon, we're going to do a paid webinar on working and healing with crystals. I'll show lots of crystals on the webinar, and we'll do really practical things. I'm all for learning how to do things quickly and easily. We'll be talking about crystals for grounding and protection and healing and clearing, which is a big deal. And then on August 10th, Thursday, 12 noon, we're going to be talking about animal communication and our animal family members. So join us. Next week, June 26th, my sponsor, Aubrey Wallace, a naturopathic physician and medical intuitive at lovebeingyou.info, will be joining us. So if you have questions about medical intuition, email them to me, robin@robynfritz.com, and we'll talk about that next week. Thank you. Let's do a healing with the goddess. Hands on your heart. Breathe into your palms, face out to the world, hands on your heart. Bring energy and love back into your body. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific.